It's the International Punk Supply Radio Show. We're back. The only radio show dedicated to bringing you the greatest in punk hits. Brought to you today by three DJs whose alma mater is the Redbird. Joining me today, we have the one and only DJ Better Yet.
It's me, Tim.
Captain, oh Captain, our Captain Little Tokyo.
Hi.
And of course, the incomparable DJ Hollywood here. How you guys doing?
Good. I was hoping you said incompetent DJ, but you know.
I mean, sometimes, yeah. It just depends on the day. I'm not in charge of anything today, so I'm fully competent.
That's true. I've got the recording powers, so.
I'm just happy to be here.
That's good. I'm happy you're
Tim,
here.
I'm happy you're here, too.
That's just such a nice thing to wake up to for DJ Tokyo. It's such a nice thing to go to bed to. And for all of you out there listening, thank you. Thank you for dropping in.
Oh.
Nice. Nice. That first song was The World Ain't Round, It's Square by The Savages. Old 60s garage rock band. Have you guys heard that before?
I have heard that before. That's a great, great song. What turned you on to this track, Joey? I feel like there are times when this sound in particular can just take my entire soul and just let me feel alive.
I have never heard this, so I'd like to hear more about it anyway.
I have my old bandmates in the Dust Eaters to thank for this one, particularly Max. He was like, hey, we should cover this song. And so that's the first time I heard it. And that was probably like 6.5 years ago. But yeah, I've been in love with it ever since. And they didn't really put out a whole lot. They put out a few singles. I think they're from like Bermuda or something like that. Is that right?
Whoa,
Tim?
Really?
Yeah. Something like that. But I agree with Tim. Like anytime I kind of like, I could probably put on like a 60s garage rock playlist and just let it play all day and just be super content to hear a bunch of random crap. So
yeah, it's not a world I've necessarily like dived in or spent too much time in. So whenever I hear something, it always sounds fresh to me.
Absolutely. I have a running list in my head of, it's a little silly because it's never going to happen, but I call them encore songs. And they're songs that if I were ever in a position to come out and play an encore, that's the type of track that goes on that list.
Oh, definitely. It's such a great encore song.
That's like a Yo La Tengo move.
Absolutely. Like
famously encoring just cover songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it.
That's so cool. Go ahead, Joey.
Oh, no. I was just going to say that we actually recorded this song and we never got around to putting it out. We have an LP's worth of material that hasn't come out. And I don't even think we put the words on this one. I don't think they recorded the vocals. They recorded the vocals for all of the other tracks, but just not this one. Unfortunate, because I think that LP was really good.
Opportunity to bring it back to one of your bands?
Yep.
Always. Always.
And incompetence with his bands.
Dude, I'm totally going to talk about one of my other bands with one of my other picks, so it's great. It's a great segue. The first track we're going to hear today, other than that, The Savages, is...
So the second track. This is the second track, right? I just want to get that straight.
It's the second track.
But we're a zero index radio show, so the first song is technically number zero.
Oh, sure, yep. Sure.
Yep, thanks, Tim. All right, this first song is called Urinal by Cockring, and it is with my old bandmate Jeff, or actually, my old bandmate Jeff, it's his new band. out of Sacramento, California.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. I don't know if he's ever listened to it, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Hey everybody, we're back. That was Leipzig, Germany's Onion with Shining River, Utah. Before that was What Goes Up with Unfit. They're from Tokyo. And we started off with Urinal by Cockring. It's always a fun one to say.
Yo, that Onion song was so good. Tell me more.
Well, that's the probably not the best representation of what they sound like.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's kind of got that like Western kind of country twang thing going on. None of the other songs really have that, but they kind of remind me of like Sweeping Promises, but from Germany.
Oh, okay.
A little dark. I found out about them on Maximum Rock and Roll Radio, because that's where I get a lot of my new music from. Like my favorite DJ on there is Erica. She always plays like some like really cool stuff like that, and so I've been going hard on this. I think it came out this year, and then they just did a US version of the tape.
Very cool.
Yeah, very cool indeed.
Yeah, I'm like obsessed with it. So, and it's the only one that's not my friend's band, so you know that I actually really like it. I'm not just being nice. I'm just kidding. Just kidding, but yeah, they are fucking great.
Yeah, yeah. It was also refreshing to hear you play something that didn't have a chorus pedal, so that was always nice.
What didn't, though?
But there was a good jangle in it. Like, it kind of just meandered.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was just like, yeah, it was cool.
That vibe of like that someone came up with that chord progression and they were all like, this is cool. And then they work something out with it.
Yeah, I love when it's like goes into that straight beat. Just gets me going.
Hell yeah. And then we heard from...
Yeah.
We heard from friend of the show, Maddie Nusko, in What Goes Up out of the Tokyo, Japan. What subway stop are they closest to?
Fuck, I don't know. Like, I just hung out with Maddie in Azabajuban in Roppongi yesterday. Maddie, Hyunghae, Heather, and I all went out to eat. We went for brunch, then we went for coffee, and then we sat in a free space that was covered because it was like kind of raining a little bit, and then when it wasn't raining it was super sunny and super hot, so it was a weird day, but we all hung out and it was really nice. Maddie lives now in like the east part of Tokyo. I think he's in Kotoku. I'm not entirely sure, but we live far apart, so we don't get to see each other all that often.
So, Tim, to answer your question, he has no idea.
No idea.
No idea. He's
some friend you are.
Sorry. I did bring him back a bottle of Malort, though.
I will say, not huge on that style, but that was a good song.
Mm.
The guitar work is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the guitarist... I guess the second guitarist. So Ingrid plays guitar. Ingrid plays guitar and sings. She was in a band with Maddie called Leeway. She's from like the Chicagoland area, but they met in Kochi when they both lived down there, Shikoku. And then the drummer is the same drummer of Horse and Deer. Have you guys heard or seen Horse and Deer?
Mm-mm.
They're kind of like a fastcore band. And the bassist of Horse and Deer played in Cemented Mind with him.
So that was a fresh track. Something brand new, maybe a debut possibly.
They have a 3-song demo, but this is for their LP that's coming out on Waterslide Records in Japan, and then it's coming out on Rad Girlfriend in the States.
Hey, and then it's coming out, cool.
I think Brass Neck in the UK. There's a few other places, but I mean, it's probably, knowing how long it takes to press things, probably still like, you know, 8 months away. But I got permission to play this song, so.
So it is a premiere.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really sidestepping the questions today.
Yeah, what's going on? Marjorie Taylor Greene over there.
No. Oh, my peach tree dishes are all over the place. yeah, so I guess that's a premiere. I was thinking like the premiere for the debut for the band, but whatever. But the guitarist plays in a hardcore band called Ill Milliliter.
That's such a good name.
it's great, yeah.
Ill Milliliter.
Yeah, but wow. Yeah, like I think like most of the shows I've been back to since like COVID's, you know, or not over, but you know, since shows started happening again, have been What Goes Up shows, which I'm not sad about because they play with some good bands.
And then Cochrane, is that Jeff singing?
No, Jeff plays guitar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I think they got the tones dialed in. I really liked the sound of the bass.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love.
It was nice and plodding, like just a stomping song.
Yeah.
I like it. And if our listeners go to cochrane.bandcamp.com, they can see very fresh album artwork.
Yeah.
I have to say, I think that I'm the biggest fan of the album artwork aspect of Cochrane.
Yeah, no, I think they got it down. They know what they want to do, and they're doing it well. They're pretty new. I know that I've been talking to Jeff, and he said that they've been playing some shows. They actually just played in L.A., Pat. Should have told you about it. But yeah, they've just been playing shows around California recently, so I think they want to do more, so I hope that they do, and I hope that people respond well to them, because I like Jeff and I think he makes good music, so wish him all the best.
Great human being.
He put up with me for a few years, so he's got to be pretty good.
Anyone that puts up with you is a stand-up person.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
I can't co-sign on that, because I have put up with Joey in the past, and I do not consider myself to be a stand-up person.
I think you're a stand-up person.
Well, that's nice.
Hey, you're a stand-up person. Shut up.
Well, I've never conned y'all.
There's still time. All right. Who's going next?
Tim, take it away.
All right. So I'm going to drop in with just what I've been listening to lately, which only slightly fits into the general purpose of this show, in that it is music. I've been reading this book called Shock and Awe, which is about glam rock, and I've had it for a couple of years and just never got around to it, and finally dug in. It's by the author Simon Reynolds, who also did a really good book on post-punk that I would recommend. But yeah, this glam rock book is fucking fantastic. It's chronological. He talks about a lot of bands, but uses like a few of the bigger names as kind of the through lines for the whole thing. So Bolan, right now I'm actually reading about David Bowie in LA, which was a very interesting phase of him, sort of in his Howard Hughes, too much cocaine, storing his own bodily fluids in the refrigerator type thing. I don't know if everybody does that out there in LA, Pat, but
I can neither confirm nor deny.
But one of the great things about this book is that it finally made Roxy Music click for me. So Roxy Music is one of those bands that I think has been lauded for my entire life. They're one of those bands that you read about, especially your favorite bands really liked Roxy Music. A lot of your favorite bands really liked Roxy Music. And for me, aside from knowing that Brian Eno was in the band for the first couple records, I never really got too into it, but something happened and Those first two Roxy Music records are so fucking good. For Your Pleasure is the second one, and that's giving us this track that I'm sharing with you all. It's called Editions of You, and we'll be back after these songs.
Of you.
That was Game Theory with 24 off of their debut LP, Real Nighttime, from 1986. What'd y'all think of that track?
That was fucking awesome. I've never heard them before.
Yeah, me neither.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. They're a band that... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think your picks got better and better. Like, I liked Roxy Music, but it was my least favorite out of all of those.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that Pleasure Seekers song that we heard in the middle is just fucking unbelievable.
So good.
I was so excited when you played the Savages at the beginning, because I was like, cool, I got the follow-up for that, with that Pleasure Seeker song. 1966, those screams are so intense. I just love that, like, specter wall of sound, but, like, overdriven before overdrive and distortion were, like, really a thing that people were utilizing. It just sounds so raw.
Yeah, definitely.
So what made you dive into glam?
That book, Shock and Awe, I'd been meaning to read it, and I don't know, I just needed a music book at the time, and it was cool. This'll be fun. I can, you know, really dive in on T-Rex and shit like that. So
I think it's Roxy interesting because, like,
great.
Like, glam, I just kind of have bad associations with it for whatever reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because of glam metal and how much that sucks. So I've just never bothered. But those were great tracks. So
yeah,
it kind of just sounds like it's just adjacent to, like, 60s garage, like what you were saying earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I think the framing that I've appreciated is that it is proto-punk in a way, in that there is a sort of, like, dissociation from, like, the self singer and putting on a bit of a character for it. I think punk is really, really much aligned with that. And then you look at, like, what the New York Dolls were doing and how much that fits into, like, Bowie and Roxy Music and stuff like that, and it all kind of, like, makes sense, as opposed to just thinking of, like, you know, well, there was what was happening in Detroit, and then there was what was happening in New York, and then there was what was happening in England, and it was all segmented, but those worlds, like, existed within each other. But Game Theory comes from just, like, I had always liked Game Theory and associated them with where they get kind of lumped in, which is, like, Paisley Underground. Mitch Easter produced all those records, so they get, like, lumped in with the REM thing, and then there's obviously just that, like, lineage of Big Star and the DBs and all of that, like, power pop worship, which, you know, has its ups and downs. But I got Lolita Nation by Game Theory, which is a double album. Just saw it's $20. Like, I know I'm gonna want this record, so I put that on. And, like, 23 or 24, the song we played, that's very accessible for what Game Theory is all about. They really get wild. They really turn, like, their song structures just upside down. Throw in a lot of, like, studio experiments and stuff with that. Like, that, the lyrics are, like, all over the place. Very heady shit, and I'm just loving that band right now.
Yeah, it definitely reminded me of Big Star a little bit, so I was certainly a fan.
Yeah, definitely got those power pop vibes. That's why I think I liked it so much.
And I just read that Scott Miller, the guy from Game Theory, was also an engineer and a computer programmer, and has, like, a patent on object-oriented data structuring, which is what I'm doing with my life right now. So my new hero is the late Scott Miller of Game Theory and the Loud Family.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
And then the Pleasure Seekers, that was cool.
Yeah. Also got that from that book. Susie Quattro from the Pleasure Seekers went on to have a really, really solid career, kind of underappreciated, but she fits within that sound, but yeah, when I threw that Pleasure Seeker song on for the first time, I was just like, oh my god, rock and roll. It's yeah. The greatest thing that's ever happened in the history of the universe.
Joey, had you ever heard the Pleasure Seekers before?
Yes, I have, but just like singles. I've heard that single. There's a lot of kind of garage rock shows that I've been to here.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot to do because when Dust Eater started, we kind of got lumped in with some garage rock bands, so we got asked to play a bunch. And one thing that's really cool about Japan is at a lot of shows, people DJ in between. And so there's a lot of these dudes that will DJ in between. And I saw them DJ a million times, and they just have a bunch of 7-inches, and they're just flipping through them and putting them on. And I've heard a lot of, like, really, really good, like the really, really good garage rock songs and shit like that. So I think I've heard of it through that, and then maybe a few other songs, but yeah. Haven't.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I like that a lot, DJing in between. Garage rock is one of those things that, like, I think, unfortunately, is populated by a lot of shitty people.
Yeah.
And I mean, especially from Chicago, like, the associations that we all have with garage rock is just a very macho bullshit Kohl's bar type thing.
Right.
But I mean, those songs are so fucking great. There's a really good Numero playlist of femme garage rock stuff. Ooh. That
it's, please send that
to me. Yeah, I'll have to find the name of it. I think I got
it right here. Well, there's like I don't know. I mean, like, there's always those bands that I think we've talked about it on the show before that, like, kind of turned us off to certain bands.
Yes.
Just because they're associations. It's like a lot of those dudes, like, really repped, like, the Exploding Hearts. And I was just like, it took me a while to get into the Exploding Hearts. And then when I did, I was like, holy shit, this is the best shit ever.
It's that perfect record.
Such yeah, a fucking good record.
For me, yeah. I mean, kind of going back to, like, what Tim was talking about with, like, kind of being turned off by, like, the machismo of some of those bands, especially in Chicago too. It's just kind of, oh, these people are insufferable, so I'm just gonna stay away. I'm not gonna bother.
Yeah. Totally.
Don't do that, people.
Basement Beehive is the Numero playlist. Basement Beehive, the Numero group guide to the girl group sound.
Hell yeah.
Really cool stuff on there.
Nice. Gonna write that down.
What do we got up next, DJ Hollywood? Now
we have.
Are you in Hollywood, or are you in Glendale? Where are you? Are you on the 405 right now?
I am not currently on the 405. I'm closer to the 110, kind of nestled between the 110 and the 2. Yeah. So decidedly not Hollywood, but don't tell anyone that. Can't ruin my cred out here. But you know, it's in my opinion, Hollywood's like a state of mind. You know, it's not a physical location.
Mm, mm. So true.
I hate
King.
You so much.
I love asking people from LA if they're on the 405 or if they took the 405 today. That's my new bit.
Oh. Nice. I am rarely ever on the 405, and I want to keep it that way.
Oh,
so coming up next, we've got a single by the Slicky Boys, the song Here to Stay. Hit it. We'll be right back. So we just heard the group Small Bars off the release Bike Shop, a little segment of track A of a tape. I believe the tracks would be Coffee No Cream and then Coins 1 and 2. Before that, we also heard the New Jersey band Joyer with the song Milk off their latest tape, and we started off with the Slicky Boys. Did I bore you enough during
Well, that? I was going to say, I'm pretty tired as it is, and you're trying to put me to sleep.
Yes, I am trying to put you to sleep.
Not in a bad way. I like felt really relaxed.
Yeah?
It's not something I would listen to, the final two tracks. But yeah, I mean, the Slicky Boys were fucking great. I really,
let's just
really
say
enjoyed them.
let's just say patient music is out of your wheelhouse.
Well, one of the things too, I was like, the Slicky Boys, I'm like, man, I wish that this song were like a little shorter.
You know, I thought that too, but it, like, I don't know, I really enjoy all the guitar work, and I don't think it overstays its welcome. And like when you listen to it again, because it's just such amazing, I don't know, the parts are just so good.
Yeah, there is that, I think that element of being within those parts, and all those parts are just so fun that you kind of want them to come back to them. Because I was looking at that timestamp too, and I was like, is this too much? And then every time they go back into it, I just think about, man, writing this song and playing this song is probably so fun that you just have to. And I'm sure, Pat, you've experienced with multiple listens of that song, every time they do go back to it, you're thankful that they do.
Yeah, that like guitar like lick is so good. It's so good. It's kind of like a little wipersy, but I don't know. It's just so like, it's so charged.
It's a bit garage rocky.
And, yeah. Oh yeah. Also reissued by just recently by one of the greatest record shops in the country, the one and only Vinyl Conflict.
Oh really?
Yeah.
How about that?
Interesting. Congrats!
So shout out to all the homies at Vinyl Conflict.
Congrats to Bobby and Melissa on the new. The new store.
Oh yeah,
I've seen.
No, congrats to Chris.
Looks great. Well, yeah, no, Chris just works there. Whatever. Yeah, but yeah, no, those are. Yeah, like I liked your picks. I just literally don't really remember the final two because I was like, man, my bed. I can't wait to go there.
I liked both of the... Well, I liked all the songs that you played. The Joyer band, Tell Me More. I liked that sound. I liked that tone.
Yeah, right? I had a feeling you would like that. Like, the structure of that song and the guitar work is just, like, spot on for that style of music.
Yeah.
A newish New Jersey band. They have a few releases under their belt. You know, I wish the vocals had just a little bit more personality. Because I think it's just a little too, like, monotone for me. But at the same time, like, the music just, I don't know, it just clicks and it makes it kind of work. Like, by the end of listening to that new record, I was just kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm in for this. It's kind of definitely worshiping, like, Bedhead for sure. When like Pedro the Lion doesn't have their pop songs, they're more meandering songs, like that style of slowcore, if you will. You know, they're going for that specific sound, and I think they're nailing it.
It's a little blown out, which I like.
Yeah.
I think that if there's any good of like a modernization of a band like Bedhead, it's to make it a little bit less clean.
Yes, definitely.
And I couldn't
agree anymore.
And Small Bars, where'd you find this? I really liked it.
Small Bars is a good friend of mine, Nick Satinover, his collaborative art and musical project with this gentleman, Ryan McCullough. Both Dayton, Ohio people. Nick went to, he was a grad student at ISU for printmaking when we were all there.
Okay.
I think you guys may have all met him too, because he definitely came by Das Funhaus at least once.
I met a lot of people in college, man.
Yeah, and you don't remember a single one.
Mm-hmm.
They all look like jerks.
But that was that's their most recent release. It's a tape that comes with a beautifully printed zine. They're both kind of really into Ohio and Ohio history, so it's a little bit about the Wright brothers, a little bit about some local Dayton history, and yeah, it's, they kind of collage things and from what I know about their process, send stuff back and forth into make those, I don't know, just a really great ambient tape.
Yeah, I saw it was like 40 pages for the zine. I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really nice. Cool.
Seems like a cool package. Good artwork on the Bandcamp, too.
Absolutely.
So maybe I will throw it on when I go to sleep. Be nice.
That's a certificate of enjoyment from the one and only Mr. Crapple. But kind of coincidentally, we're going to close this show out with some more kind of 60s rock. One of the Big Star members, Chris Bell, and his song,
I Am the Cosmos. This is definitely 70s.
So, Tim, I never dived too much into Chris Bell's solo stuff whatsoever until just recently watching the documentary and being like, why have I not done this? I take it you're familiar with this?
Yeah, the Chris Bell record is pretty great. You're gonna hear the song. There's a reason that this is the song that people really, really take from that record. It's it would be a fun bit of list making to just list the best records that are so heavily just shadowed by the fact that the first track is unbelievably great and the rest of the material never even comes close to it. The Dennis Wilson record comes to mind. This is the great thing about I Am the Cosmos is that if you love it, you can probably listen to it over and over again for an hour and hear different cover versions of it to populate that entire hour.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, we're gonna close it out with Mr. Chris Bell of Big Star, his solo work, the song I Am the Cosmos.
Nice. See you guys later.
Bye. Hey, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for having me. Bye.